Hi, y'all. This is Kristen Chenoweth.
Hi, I'm Gloria Stefan.
This is Sarah Bareilles.
Hi, I'm Patti LuPone.
This is Lin-Manuel Miranda. You're listening to the Broadway Podcast Network.
Lucky Land Casino, asking people, what's the weirdest place you've gotten lucky?
Lucky? In line at the deli, I guess?
Aha, in my dentist's office. More than once, actually.
Do I have to say?
Yes, you do.
In the car, before my kids' PTA meeting.
Really?
Yes.
Excuse me, what's the weirdest place you've gotten lucky?
I never win and tell.
Well, there you have it. You can get lucky anywhere, playing at LuckyLandSlots.com. Play for free right now. Are you feeling lucky? No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
Step into the world of power, loyalty, and luck.
I'm gonna make him an offer he can't refuse.
With family, cannolis, and spins mean everything.
Now, you wanna get mixed up in the family business.
Introducing The Godfather at ChumbaCasino.com. Test your luck in the shadowy world of The Godfather slot.
Someday, I will call upon you to do a service for me.
Play The Godfather, now at ChumbaCasino.com.
Welcome to the family.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply.
Raindrops on roses and whiskers on kittens. Bright copper kettles and warm woolen mittens. Brown paper packages tied up with strings. These are a few of my favorite things.
Hi, I'm Kevin David Thomas.
And I'm Rob Schneider.
Hello, Rob Schneider.
Hello, Kevin David Thomas.
Here we are. Yet another My Favorite Things.
Whiskers on roses. No.
Raindrops on roses.
Whiskers on kittens.
I would like to see some whiskers on roses.
The dyslexic
though.
Production of the music of sound.
Nice. Well played. How are you?
I'm doing good. You know, I forgot to mention in the last episode, and I should have done this, the movie House, which you guys watched.
Oh, the Halloween movie that we talked about.
Recommended to me by my brother.
Oh.
My brother, who is a genius when it comes to film and film history.
Oh, really?
And I realized he was the one who recommended it to me. I wanted to give him credit for recommending the movie to me.
And to us.
And to us.
Yes, thank you.
And to us all. To us
and
all.
Would you consider yourself a movie buff as well? I feel like you know a lot about movies, Rob. Like, whenever we have... Listen, whenever we're interviewing some legend, they're always like, oh, gosh, the director's name was... And you're always like, Was it maybe George Scott? And you're right every single time.
You mean George C. Scott?
Whatever. It's I don't know.
Thank you, Kevin.
I was like, George Wolfe. I don't know.
It was George Wolfe.
But you always know exactly the name of the person and the year.
I'm good with older movies. Honestly, anything after American Beauty, not so much. Mm-hmm. But older movies, I'm really good at. But now, like my brother, he knows everything.
Nice.
Everything. I wish my mind worked like that.
Okay.
I can only do the musical theater stuff. But I love old movies. I grew up on old movies.
Yeah. Yeah.
The first movie I think my parents ever let me watch was Singing in the Rain.
Classic.
And it's just sort of spiraled out from there. But my parents were interesting. They would let me watch like Singing in the Rain or The Odd Couple or The Sunshine Boys when I was 3 or 4. So I just sort of accumulated a taste for the older films. I really wasn't like, ooh, let's watch, you know, An American Tale, Fievel Goes West.
Right. Totally.
You know,
you had more sophisticated tastes.
A more sophisticated palate. But I love movies. I don't like going to the movie theater anymore, though.
Well, is it because it costs $5,000 in order to do
it? $5,000 and everyone's always texting and talking.
Yeah.
And so I don't know. I miss the experience of being surrounded by so many strangers and we're all sharing a communal experience.
Yes.
But I'll get the movie. I'll wait till it comes out on iTunes or Netflix.
I hear that. Have you ever done, going farther that direction, have you ever gone to those fancy eat dinner and watch movie places?
Oh, my God. A couple of times.
Those are fun. Like, a nice one. You know, I went to one in Florida where it was like you had a waiter, you had a leather couch.
Yeah.
You know, wine and everything.
We just went to one in Brooklyn.
Oh, yeah.
Nighthawk?
Yeah, they opened that up. Yeah. How was that?
It was really fun. It was really fun.
That.
Nighthawk Cinemas in Brooklyn.
Okay.
They were
good. Now, how much did that put you back, though?
Oh, it was a pricey.
It was a night out.
Yeah.
It's like going to see a Broadway show.
Here, you know, the movie's like, what, $4 on iTunes. My Lean Cuisine is $2.97. You know, I haven't spent more than $10.
I know. That's nice, Rob.
Well, thank you so much for joining Rob and Kevin at the retirement home, our new podcast. Next week, clipping coupons and why Mary in the pool feels like she can always urinate in it.
Meet you at the Family Dollar.
The family.
And you're welcome.
We'll meet you at the Family Dollar.
Yeah.
Get the bus going around.
Oh, my. So we got a favorite things. Happy fall. Fall fell.
Happy fall.
Yay, man. looking at my notes.
And at this, point, Rob and Kevin passed away at the home.
What's your favorite thing today?
Oh, my favorite thing is it's, you know what, it's something we don't talk about all that often on this show, and it's not produced that much anymore in the entertainment world, and I wish it would come back, and that is the review.
Ah, the musical. The musical review.
R-E-V-U-E. The
like,
review.
Yeah, like the traditional review. Like where
a traditional review. My favorite thing today is a traditional review.
A specific one.
A specific one that I think is so funny and so hysterical. And I listened to it again a couple of days ago, and I found myself wiping tears away from laughing so much. It is so funny.
Is this dated? Is this like New Faces of 1952?
It is. I mean, yeah, in a way, it's 1966. The year is 1966. It's an off-Broadway review. It's not an on-Broadway review. It's an off-Broadway review. And as you're thinking of the title, just a little reminder to our viewers, a review is obviously a collection of songs and sketches all unified by a theme. And the theme in this one is a magazine.
Oh, the Mad.
The Mad Show. The Mad Show. So my favorite thing is The Mad Show from 1966.
Had great writers on it,
Oh my gosh, wait till you hear who these writers are. Oh my God, listen to this. Mary Rogers does the music. The book is by Larry Siegel and Stan Hart, who they were Mad Magazine writers themselves, and they later went off to go do the Carol Burnett Show. Marshall Bayar from
Once Upon a Mattress,
and of course our big favorite here, Stephen Sondheim.
Esteban.
Oh yeah, I have it right here.
It's like Esteban.
Esteban Rio Nido,
which is just an anagram of
his name,
right?
Yeah, it translates from the German via Spanish to Stephen Rivernest.
Yeah. because that they didn't know that it was Stephen Sondheim writing the lyrics.
He helped
disguise one of the songs.
He helped Mary Rogers, his friend, write a song.
The boy from.
That's the full title.
Right.
And he used a nom de plume. And it was this. So it's actually Stephen Sondheim's lyrics. So for those of you who don't know, the Mad Show is based on Mad Magazine. Mad Magazine was like because you have to remember, it was very satirical. It was always poking fun at the government. It was always poking fun at entertainment and culture. There were no shows, no TV shows. There was no South Park. There was no Family Guy. There was no Daily Show. Right. So this magazine,
let alone Twitter, Facebook, social media,
there was nothing. So this magazine was really where you could have comedy and politics and satire all meet. So the review satirizes everything possible from the 1960s at this time. And the cast, wait till you hear the cast. Are you ready for the small review cast?
Yeah.
Tell me you would not want to go back in a time machine and see these people. Linda Lavin.
Nice.
Joanne Worley from Laugh-In. Paul Sand. And Richard Libertini. And someone still with us, McIntyre Dixon. So this is like a cast. Now, here's the cool thing. The recording preserves not only the songs, but the sketches as well. So it's songs and sketches. And listen to some of the things that they do here. I mean, you really have to be a musical theater aficionado. First of all, you don't have to be a musical theater aficionado to appreciate it. But once you know what they're parodying, then you'll enjoy it. There's a great song called Misery Is, which is a parody of Happiness from Your Good Man, Charlie Brown. So it lists all the things that went wrong.
Like misery is...
Yes. Da, 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 da. Yes. There's a really funny skit called Handle with Care, and that's about a son tricking his parents into letting him leave the house without a punishment for bad grades. And he's like, oh, it's fine. He goes, I don't mind. It's, some of it is still a little bit like dated in its humor.
60s,
the son goes, oh, he goes, I don't mind staying at home. He's like, he goes, I had a date with a girl tonight, but he goes, if I get to stay home because I'm punished, I'll get to put on all of mom's dresses and all of mom's lipstick, and I'll get to be a pretty girl just like mom. And the dad's like, out! Get out! So it's stuff like that. I know it's not funny, but it makes me laugh.
No, that's good.
There's a hysterical song called The Hate Song.
Oh.
Which is about, it's making fun of all the pacifists of the area, but how they're going to destroy and mutilate hate in order to stomp out hate.
Right.
So that's the funny joke. There's two things Joanne Worley does. For those of you who don't know, Joanne Worley is best known probably from Laugh-In, but she's at this very long musical theater career. She not only does stuff like on the 20th Century, she's also been Mama Rose and Gypsy a couple of times. Right. She's a great actress. There are two things of hers that I think are so genius, and you must listen to them if nothing else. One of them is called Kitty TV.
Oh.
And it's a parody of Romper Room.
Oh.
And it's all about this, it's all about liberal guilt. So all she wants to do is like pull up minority students. And like, but as she pulls them up, she starts to realize like how racist she actually is,
right,
or how misogynistic she actually is. But the best one, listen to this song. If you're looking for a good song for a cabaret, it's called The Gift of Maggie. Not The Gift of the Magi. The Gift of Maggie. And it's Joanne Worley doing a routine about all the horrible presents she gets from all of her friends during the Christmas season. It is the funniest thing. I have listened to it 8 times.
Really?
Today alone.
I believe you.
I literally just keep repeating it. So anyway, this is my show. It is called The Mad Show. It's from 1966. Also available on YouTube. But please, if nothing else, just Joanne Worley, The Gift of Maggie.
I will check that out,
because
sure,
it makes me so happy. The Gift of Maggie. What is the gift of Kevin today?
Well, that's a good one, Rob. I forgot. I always forget about that show. I don't have it, and I forget that there's a recording of it. Mine is also based on a comic, you might say.
By the way,
did you subscribe to Mad Magazine when you were a kid?
I didn't subscribe, but I would buy it every once in a while.
I would do it. Yeah, me too. I didn't get any of it. I mean, like, as a kid. You grew up in more political than I did. You definitely, I feel like, had more...
Yeah,
you understood the politics better than I did.
Yeah, I was a political science major, and my dad, he used to...
I didn't know you were a political science major.
Yeah, I was a poli-sci major in undergrad.
Wow.
Yeah, and my dad was, for a long time, he was Senator Schumer's chief of staff.
Incredible.
For a really long time.
So then you would have gotten the political satire in those.
I did. You know, when you're 8 years old and you're watching your Kurosawa film and eating your Cheerios.
Praised by Lin-Manuel Miranda as the future of musical theater, SUFS creator Shayna Taub makes Broadway history as only the second woman to write the book, music, lyrics, and star in her own original new musical. Don't miss the much-anticipated Broadway debut of the singular artist that Forbes calls visionary and Billboard anoints as one of the most inventive voices in musical theater. SUFS, the original new musical from Shayna Taub, is now playing on Broadway at the Music Box Theater. Get your tickets today at SUFSmusical.com. The Outsiders on Broadway tells the story of finding where you belong when the world refuses to accept you. Based on S.E. Hinton's beloved novel, featuring new music from Jamestown Revival and Justin Levine, and directed by Danya Taymor, Entertainment Weekly says that, with brilliant staging and some of the most captivating stage fighting currently on Broadway, The Outsiders has the power to inspire an entire generation. Get your tickets today at OutsidersMusical.com.
That's what you do.
Oh, that's good.
So what's yours? So yours is kind of based on a comic.
Mine is also, yeah. You're going to know mine immediately because we've talked about it before.
Okay.
But I love the score of this musical. This is a musical that has never made it to Broadway yet. We talked to the author of this musical.
Oh!
It's a sequel.
Oh, yes.
And it's not Bring Back Birdie.
No.
But it has to do with a little girl.
Is it Annie 2, Miss Hannigan's Revenge?
No, not Miss Hannigan's Revenge. But
this is your Annie Warbucks.
Annie Warbucks.
All right.
So, friends, there is a sequel.
Can you say that one more time?
Annie Warbucks.
There we go. Thank you.
So, friends, there is a sequel to that lovable musical Annie that you may not or you may know about. There actually are two sequels. So, in 1989, I want to say, they tried to, this would be the writers of the original Annie, Martin Charnin and Charles Strauss, decided to crack at, you know, a sequel, try to make the first successful sequel to a Broadway musical. And the first crack at it was this Miss Hannigan's Revenge, starring Dorothy Loudon. It played the Kennedy Center. It was called Annie 2, : Miss Hannigan's Revenge. It did not do well. Let's just say that, and you can listen to our interview with Martin, he really has interesting things to say about it. But basically, people they did not estimate that people would be want Miss Hannigan to go after Annie that way. We weren't into that. And so they rewrote it and started from scratch, and they took out the character of Miss Hannigan. And so Annie Warbucks picks up literally the minute after Annie ends. And so now you've got the bad guy is the child welfare commissioner, Harriet Doyle. She's the new, you know, Ms. Hannigan, if you will. And the plot is basically that very much of its time that Daddy Warbucks has to get married within 60 days because you can't be a single parent, obviously. And so the whole thing is very much like Bachelor that or Bachelorette, that where they have to they go on this mission to try to find him his wife. Whereas, of course, turns out that he's really been in love with Grace Farrell all along. And that's who he ends up with. But the commissioner, she tries with her daughter to try to make her daughter his wife, and they try to do, you know, that's the hijinks and all of that.
Ugh.
But I gotta say, the really fun thing about this production is the score. It is top-notch Charles Strauss quality and Martin Charnin quality. It really is fun. Harve Presnell plays Daddy Warbucks.
Oh my
gosh.
Production.
They did it at good speed, and then they moved it off-Broadway in like 1993, and it did very well. It got great reviews and everything like that. They weren't able to transfer it to Broadway for some reason at the last minute. I think they had an investor pull out. But again, you have the book by Thomas Meehan. I mean, it's the exact same team from the original.
Why isn't it done more?
That's a really good question. I don't know. I mean, I'm sure because they do Annie. I mean, and even Charnin said that, you know, they advise not to do both, that people get burnt out on Annie. You don't need to do both. It's not like, you know, the Marvelous Wonderettes. I know theaters will do one, two, three of that, you know, because this is like overkill of Annie, I think. So I wonder if that's part of it. It might just be that people don't know that it exists, because everybody knows the songs like Tomorrow and Maybe.
Do any of those songs show up in Annie Warbucks?
No, they don't. But you can definitely see their like parallels, you know,
today.
Exactly.
And possibly.
No, it's true. She definitely sings a song of hope in the second act. There's definitely like a, for ladies, if you want a sassy, you know, up-tempo, the Miss Hannigan Doyle lady, she sings a song called But You Go On.
Yeah, it's a good
fantastic number. A nice slow ballad for a young lady or a woman is It Would Have Been Wonderful, which is another gorgeous song. The girls all sing, like all the kids sing All Dolled Up, how good they're going out, All Dolled Up. It's cute.
Oh,
it's
cute.
It's and the orphans sweet come score. Back. Yep, you get the orphans, you get kids, of course. I think it's a great listen.
People should do it. They should run it in rep.
I think so. It's familiar. It's a story you know. And yes, you want to hear what happens to Annie. It's not like exactly like Wicked, where it's happens, parallel
just,
story.
Just
but
it
just basically picks up. I know that they're still hoping that you will see this come to New York again someday. And I look forward to that. I can't believe
Marvelous.
I just said that, but it's true. The score is gorgeous. And sometimes it's hard to get your hands on the actual recording, but I know that you can. The songs are on YouTube, and I know that there are recordings on Amazon. But I did look, and some people are selling it for like $200. That was way too much for a cast recording, folks. What's the most you ever spent on a
recording?
Yeah, for a cast recording.
Jeez, I think the most I ever spent. It was $60-$65.
Oh.
And I think it was Starlight Express.
Really?
Because it's out of print.
Yeah. Well, this is too. This is now, of course, things are a little different these days.
Yeah.
There's they do like those DVRs or whatever, and you can, you know, but in college, I spent $100. I can't believe I spent $100 in college. Where did I even have $100? But I bought A Little Night Music, how ironic, but the CD of Judi Dench of the Royal National Theater, which was never released in the United States, and it was really hard to get, and you couldn't get it.
I
still think you can't. It's hard to find that. But Larry Guitard plays Frederick.
There's a documentary on YouTube about the making of that production.
Really?
Yeah, that the South Bank show did.
Oh my goodness.
Yeah.
I've got to check that out.
And they show little clips of it in action.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I spent $100 on that silly $100. CD. I don't know why. I'm embarrassed to tell people that. But
why? It's worth it. It's Judi Dench singing Send in the Clowns.
That was pretty awesome.
And what more could you want?
It's true.
And Lawrence Guitard.
I mean,
do you remember who was the mom?
No. Not off the top of my head.
I wonder who that was. But she was like some big actress. I can't remember.
Probably.
Yeah.
I'll look
it
up after this.
Anyway, that's great, though.
So, yeah. But, another hard recording to get, but fun to listen to is Annie Warbucks.
Okay. So, ladies and gentlemen, it is Annie Warbucks and The Mad Show.
The Mad Show.
What and the gift of Maggie, if nothing else.
The gift of Maggie with Worley.
Joanne Worley. Nice. Who would make a great Miss Hannigan?
Okay.
I wonder if she's ever played it before.
We should look that up.
Let's call her.
All right.
We should get her on the show.
I know.
We should get her and Joyce DeWitt. And at that point, I can die.
And we're done. And then we'll hang it up.
Not just the podcast. My life.
Just done. Everything.
Everything is done.
Bye.
Raindrops on roses and whiskers on kittens. Bright copper kettles and warm woolen mittens. Brown paper packages tied up with strings. These are a few of my favorite things.
They say well-behaved women seldom make history. Just ask the Supps. A vibrant and wholly original new musical, Supps celebrates the real women who changed history and their story that is more timely than ever. See the show Variety calls an epic tour de force new musical. Deadline Cheers is a rare Broadway feat and leaves audiences inspired to keep marching. Supps has arrived on Broadway and not a moment too soon. Get your tickets today at suppsmusical.com. If you love Broadway gossip, you are not going to want to miss any episode of this podcast, Singular Sensation, The Triumph of Broadway. Plenty of dramas unfold on stage, but the best dramas unfold backstage. And there were no bigger dramas than behind the scenes of Sunset Boulevard.
So you were being crucified over here, but not there.
No. No, because I was turning in a performance that would get standing ovations. Excuse me.
So check out my podcast, Singular Sensation, for all the juicy and gory details of Sunset Boulevard.